What's up, boys and girls, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. at Farley Betts on the X, on the Twitter. And you're listening to a 3 years and running sports betting podcast where we talk about, of course, free picks, our free angles and free grabs, if you will. But we also talk about sports betting strategy and philosophy to try to help you improve on your day-to-day, because I know you're betting every day on sports, trying to improve what you do to make you a better gambler, a more responsible gambler, to actually bring home some coin for you and your family. So welcome to this great show. And we have another great guest on today's show. So without further ado, I am not going to wait very long because we have a great show with Kate Constable. You can follow her at Kate Constable on Twitter. That's X to the layperson now, I guess. And we talk about a lot of things today. We talk Chicago Bulls. We talk Chicago Bears and the prospects for their season. We talk the WNBA and what to expect in the second half of the WNBA season, as well as some Olympics, men's and women's basketball, and even a free pick or two, perhaps. You'll see what we talk about there at the end. Please join us for this great podcast with Kate Constable. All right, ladies and gents, I told you we have a special guest on today's podcast. And if you've listened to Laying the Points for the many seasons, all three seasons that I've been doing this podcast, then you've heard this voice before, but she has not been on the show for a while. So it is great to have you back, Kate Constable. You're all over the place in the betting world. So I'm going to let you tell our listeners where they can find you on a day-to-day basis. But what's up, Kate? I missed you having on the pod.
Hi, Chris. Yeah, it's good to be back. It's been quite some time since I've been on the pod. I've been waiting for the invite. Guess it got lost in the mail over the last year, but good to be back.
I think it's more about you. You're everywhere. I hear you wake up at what time do you wake up in the morning? 5 a.m., 4 a.m.?
Well, it depends on if I'm hosting the morning show, which I am on Thursday morning for BetQL, which is where you can check out a lot of my stuff. So I get up at around 3:30 for a 5 a.m. start time for the show. It's an early, early morning.
I remember listening to Howard Stern's process. You know, years ago, he was on a show talking about this, and I was like, this guy is elite. Because he was saying he gets up at 3:30, he's preparing all the show sheets. You know, show probably doesn't start till like 6 or 7, but that's the kind of preparation it takes. I didn't realize that even in betting gigs, apparently, if you're Kate Constable, that's what it takes. 3:30 a.m. So what time are you going to bed?
It depends on if there's any events on. Last time I hosted last week, the Olympics hadn't started. Nothing was going on. No sports, really. I was in bed by 6:30. Lights out 7:30. Get a full, like, what, 6-7 hours? 8, maybe? I don't know. Well, but, like, when football or basketball's on, I try and, you know, asleep by 9, usually. But that's why I have to get up early, because I'll miss a lot of what happened the night before. And, of course, we're going to talk about it. So I have to kind of, you know, check scores, stats, updates, all that good stuff in the morning, which is why it's an early wake up time. Plus, I just move very slow at that hour. It's not nothing's happening fast at 3:30 in the morning.
You need the wake up time. So are there blackout, like, you must have elite blackout curtains, because, you know, it's summertime, right? So 7:30 at night, it's still very light out. Like, are there sound machines on? Are there, you know, you don't have to tell me if you're doing any other pseudo medications or anything, but
I do have blackout curtains in our master bedroom, but my husband makes me sleep in the guest room, because otherwise he wakes up at 3:30 and there aren't blackout curtains in there. But he does that because he knows I can fall asleep literally whenever, so I can fall asleep even if it's light out. But I do have to take a little melatonin. A little melatonin gummy in order to knock me out.
Enhance that REM sleep. Yeah, yeah. That's the sign of a good marriage. You can separate sometimes for the sake of your professions.
Yeah.
I know me and my Kate do that from time to time. Easier said than done. But the blackout curtains are essential. Yeah. I cannot, if it's light out at all, I'm not a napper. I'm not. But hey, good segue, because I'm going to bring up your husband, Kevin Schwartz, right? That's his last
name.
Kevin Schwartz. Kevin blew up recently, or I would say, let's give you credit, Kate. You took the video. You saw the moment incoming of now his alma mater, Northwestern, or is that just his team?
No, that's just his team. His dad went to Northwestern, so he grew up going to all sorts of Northwestern events, football games. They've had season tickets forever, so he bleeds purple, but he did not go there.
Okay, so I feel cool because I, you know, as your Instagram friend, pretty cool on your Instagram friend, I hearted that right away. I was like, that's funny. I like it. I don't heart a lot of stuff. You know, it takes effort to do that. So I was a fan before it was viral. Now it's like over 1 million. What, tell the audience, you know, because everybody, I feel like the it's a quick rich scheme, right? You want to be the hawk. Well, maybe you don't want to be the hawk to a girl, but everybody wants that moment where they can just like easily elevate because of some social, you know, viral video, right? So what, I obviously you didn't plan on that. But what do you think? It was a funny video, you know, with Kevin celebrating. He wants his team to win. The anticipation was real in the room. I could feel the intensity. What do you think? Is it just the authenticity? Is it just that it was a transparent, candid moment of a guy in his 30s playing a video game and loving it? Is that what it was?
It's just guys being dudes, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, he was totally locked in. He was literally sitting on the couch sweating, playing this video game. And he, you know, he's trying to make it to the Big Ten championship game against Oregon. Final drive of the game. He scores to win. It was just an exciting game. And he's just, obviously married him. I know him pretty well. I just knew something was probably going to like weird happen because he just does quirky things all the time, especially when he's like playing these video games. So I thought, you know what? And I just planned on like, I don't know, I take little videos of him all the time doing dumb stuff just for my own pure pleasure. But I was like, okay, this is actually kind of funny and sports related. So I try and keep a lot of my, you know, social media content, at least on Twitter, to sports because that's what people follow me for. And so I just threw it up there and it didn't go viral until like 24 hours after I posted, like the first day of it being on there, nothing really happened. And I never anticipated anything close to what did happen. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a million views. It's nothing more than that. Like I didn't get all the deals the Hawk 2 girl got. No. I didn't get, you know, I'm not famous in that sense. I'm not making money off of it. It was just kind of a funny moment, for a goofy guy.
Yeah. Well, I think your caption was like, are all guys like this or something like that? You know, the answer is yes. You know, always babies. We never get out of our baby stage. And if not that, but you know, we like to still do things like that we did as kids. And I have yet to buy this game. I'm feeling the pressure now. I think my son has it. Yeah. I think I need to get on the train here. Obviously it's NFL season. Things are getting busy, but I know you guys are busy and you're finding time. So maybe I need to get on the video games. All right, well, let's move to some sports stuff because that's what we're here to talk about, obviously. And if you don't know, I think you make it pretty public, so I could say this: Kate Constable and Kevin, they live in Chicago. I see a Chicago Bears helmet behind you. I know Kevin's a big fan, but you guys are Chicagoans, right? Yes, we are. Let's talk about some professional sports teams in Chicago because there's obviously some buzz, Kate Constable, about your Chicago Bears. And I'll just start asking this. You know, the Bears win total is 8.5. The over is juiced, right? I mean, you talk about a big difference between previous seasons and this season heading into it. Is the feel in Chicago right now in the Windy City, is it one of doubt or is it one of excitement? Is it both? Because I know like Chicago strikes me as the kind of town, I've only been there twice, but it strikes me as the kind of town just like Philly, New York, Boston, Los Angeles, where they're not easy on their teams, right? It's like they're not just going to fall for it right away. But is this situation different? Is there just palpable excitement and energy?
Yeah, there is no doubt. There's no no one is discouraged heading into this season. Maybe they should be a little, maybe the doubt should be a little greater than it is, but no, everyone is so excited. There's just kind of a different mood, different vibe in the city, especially as we get closer to the start of the season, which starts on Thursday with the Hall of Fame game and the Bears are in it. So everyone's very excited. It does feel different this year. Like Chicago has been the place where quarterbacks go to die, right? That's kind of a true-ish statement, not literally die, but figuratively. And it feels different this year because the Ryan Poles and the organization, the way they've set things up is a little bit different. I mean, picking first overall in this past draft, like Chicago wasn't your typical team with the number one overall seed in the fact that they traded for that. They didn't necessarily completely suck the year before and have win right. two games or anything like that. So the situation that Caleb Williams is walking into this year is a little bit better just all around than what previous quarterbacks have done.
Yeah. And the proof is there, right? It's kind of like the Texans. I mean, as a handicapper, a professional sports bettor, you know, like I feel like that's like thrown around everywhere these days. But as a sports bettor, I'll just say it's easy to just want to fade a team like this, right? Because we just haven't seen it from the Bears. They're opening up week one. I want to talk about that in a second. They're opening up week one as pretty commanding favorites. I mean, -4.5 against the Titans. Titans are going through some of the transitions. But if you look at their roster, it's objective facts, right? Like how can you not get excited about, even if it was the same kind of weird quarterback situation, you got DeAndre Swift, right? DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, arguably one of the most professional wide receivers in the NFL for the last, 10 years. Roma Dunze watching Hard Knocks with the Giants. Like they were very interested.
Chris, we know you're not good with names. Odunze.
What is it?
Odunze.
I could have swore I heard Odunze. Okay. Mm. All right. Odunze. Okay. Excuse me. Is it Rome or is it like Rome or something like that?
No, it's just Rome. Rome Odunze.
Okay. Rome Odunze. Cole Kmet has been climbing up. I mean, that is if Caleb Williams, you got to feel like is just mediocre, right? Yeah. He can take advantage of some of this talent.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's what I mean, where like the setup around Caleb Williams is fantastic. That receiving core, Swift coming over in the backfield. The concern on offense is the offensive line. Chicago really did not do a whole lot to bolster that. And there's already been a lot of concerns within training camp, the way that offensive line is working. And if they're going to be able to stay healthy throughout the season, like that's going to be a huge question mark. And one of the reasons that Justin Fields kind of, I mean, I don't want to say he necessarily failed, just didn't have a ton of success, is that offensive line really was not great. So all around Caleb, in terms of the position players or the specialty, you know, groups, they're great. The defense, if it performs like it did in the back half of last year, the defense should be good again. But the offensive line, I think, is the biggest concern coming into this season.
Yeah, and they got Montez Sweat on the defensive line. Mm-hmm. But I think the defensive line is just a little like they're you know, from what I hear, you know, beat reporters for the Bears, whatever. There's excitement about some of their more, you know, not so seasoned prospects. You know, they got some up and comers on their defensive line, but it's not jumping out either, right? So it just reminds me a little too much. You know, this is maybe personal bias because as a New York Giants fan, all we do is like load up around the offensive line. Now, you know, the defensive line were pretty good this year, but offensive line is just like something that we've been ignoring, which is really stupid, I think. And like, you know, so, I mean, hopefully things come together for the Bears on the fronts, right? Because you're facing a Titans team. And let's just get to this because I've talked at length already on, you know, Twitter, podcast, whatever you want to, about Titans +4.5 in week one. A team that's going through transition themselves, right? No more Derrick Henry, no more Mike Vrabel. I don't even know what that's all about, by the way. I don't know why they got rid of him. Yeah, he looks like he's having a ton of fun in Cleveland, but like, I don't get it. But, you know, I guess they wanted like a regime change, but a team that's, I mean, Sebastian Joseph Day on their defensive line, solid player. They still got Jeffrey Simmons. Like, they're going to probably bring some heat against Caleb Williams week one. He's going to see a little pressure. And obviously, just as a 4.5-point favorite, Constable, it's like a lot of things have to go right with this brand new setup for the Chicago Bears. I know they're at home, but for them to cover that line, are you confident that the Bears are going to cover that week one line?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not confident in that at all. I would take the Titans because how much is Caleb Williams going to be playing in the preseason as well? Like, as we're recording this, what, it's Tuesday, and supposedly the Bears are going to announce whether or not he'll even play in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, but, I mean, I wouldn't play him there. Yeah.
Right? Like, so we don't know if Caleb Williams is going to see the field at all in the preseason. So his first time NFL game, I mean, obviously, clearly his first regular season NFL game, but could be week one. That would just be a tough spot. So, I mean, I do want to, as a Bears fan, like, I think the Bears can win that game. It's a winnable game. But 4.5, that seems like that's an overreaction to the hype around Caleb Williams and the hype around this Bears team going into the season, which kind of, Chris, maybe leads us into like the win total a little bit. You said it's 8.5 and heavily juiced. I have not bet the win total yet. I go back and forth. I'm not going to lay -160, whatever it is, to bet the over at this point. But what I do think could happen, and you tell me this because you've been handicapping the NFL a lot longer than I have, with the Bears being on Hard Knocks this season, like everyone's going to get so excited seeing the ins and outs of the Bears and Caleb Williams and everything. So with the win total being so heavily juiced, I wonder if it gets up to 9, 9.5 with, you know, the public. Obviously sharps are not going to be jumping on that, but maybe the public, you know, pours in on it. Then I would consider taking the under, because as good as I do think the Bears can be, is it going to happen in year one? Right. How often, like CJ Stroud last year, we talk about how incredible he was in his rookie season. But prior to that, like when was the last rookie quarterback that thrived in the way Stroud did in his rookie year? Like Caleb Williams can be a incredibly good quarterback throughout his career, but is it going to happen in week one or year one or week one, really? So yeah, I have some concerns, and I think the excitement is kind of what's hyped this team up and maybe inflating some, you know, the side in week one and the win total. But I think we do need to temper our expectations a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think that was all really well put. I mean, Caleb Williams better get some time taking snaps against an NFL team before week one. And in my opinion, I think that would be a disaster if he, like, you're setting him up to not succeed in week one if you don't, in my opinion. It's still the National Football League, right? We gotta be a little humble here. So I'm sure he'll play a little bit, but yeah, I think that's going to be a very interesting game week one. See how he handles the pressure. I'm hearing a lot of positive things about his intangibles, like in the locker room and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, definitely not hating on the kid, just, you know, looking at recent history or just history in general about, you know, first year starters, even number one picks. You know, look at Trevor Lawrence, Baker Mayfield, a lot of these guys. I mean, Trevor Lawrence arguably had the most draft hype out of any QB that we can remember. So he definitely compares to Caleb Williams, but this is a unique situation. It's like a total shift for the Chicago Bears and who they could be. So I'm very excited. I'm much more excited about their Hard Knocks than I am about watching my Giants Hard Knocks, because I'm losing confidence watching the Giants Hard Knocks. Let's move on to the Chicago Bulls. The Chicago Bulls. For some reason, I have to say Bulls that way. First of all, why are we getting rid? Why I would love to know what Kevin thinks about this too. Why are we getting rid of Alex Caruso? In my opinion, who's like a stalwart defensive guy, leader on the team, and you're bringing, like, Josh Giddey is a fine player. You know, great hair, Josh Giddey. Yeah, would love to have some of your hair, but you know, a point guard or versatile player, but. I don't know. I just don't know what to think about this team. Like, are we not getting rid of Billy Donovan at this point? It's like cyclical, like nothing's really happening. Like, now, to be clear, I'm not up to date on like Chicago Bulls, like news and what to expect. And you know, maybe there are, you know, players they drafted or that they're going to sign that's going to be amazing. But what is your outlook for the Chicago Bulls this season? Can we expect anything different than what we've seen?
No. Absolutely not. The outlook is not great for the Bulls this year. I mean, I loved Alex Caruso. Like he was loved by the city because he was the grinder, the defensive player, like the do-it-all guy. And he was good. I think the Bulls, I don't necessarily hate that they traded him. I just think that they did it at the wrong time and probably could have gotten more from him. Like they probably should have gotten a pick back within that Josh Giddey trade, and they didn't. But Giddey, I mean, Caruso isn't young by any means. He's, I believe he's in his 30s. He might be in his 30s.
Maybe. I mean, I think it's the bald head that ages him.
That's true.
How dare you? Because I'm heading in that direction. So, you know.
I'm looking up his age now. He's 30. So Josh Giddey has a little bit more upside than I think people give him credit for. Like he did have a down playoffs. He did have a little bit of a down season, but the upside is there. So if he can continue to develop, and I mean, he's only in his third year in the league. if he can develop a little bit more, I think he can be a very good player in this league. And then that looks like a really good trade down the road. Now, we're not going to necessarily know that until maybe this year, next. But the Bulls also need a point guard. Like the, with true. Lonzo's injury, of course, Lonzo apparently is supposed to be back this year. I'm not going to hold my breath, right? Like, no. So they went ahead and got a point guard, someone, because that's been the Bulls' biggest Achilles heels. Like, they don't have a true point guard or someone to facilitate that offense. When Lonzo was healthy and was the one doing that, the Bulls were actually really good. So I think that's part of the Giddy bringing him in, because Coby White is not a true point guard. He operates so much better off the ball, and he's taken a huge step in his game over the last season, that you want that to continue with the play style that he's, you know, accustomed to. So it's moving Zach LaVine is the tricky part, and kind of what's holding up any sort of progress for Chicago, because I think as long as LaVine, and I think LaVine's a good player, he's just not a number one, probably isn't even a number two, really. The Bulls don't have, especially with DeRozan gone, like, no, there's not a whole lot of optimism for Chicago this season.
Yeah. Wow. You were a thoroughly negative evaluation of the Chicago Bulls. But you know, you're hearing it from a Chicagoan. So is that how you say it?
Chicagoan.
Yeah. You say it really quickly with the accent. That sounds right. Chicagoan. Hard to disagree about any of the points you made. You know, certainly the Zach LaVine thing, I don't even understand it from a contractual standpoint, but it sounds like the Chicago Bulls, in the way that I'm betting them this season, is not going to change much. It's like you mostly fade them, and then every now and then they're just gonna, you know, they're gonna, like, you know, like whoop the Minnesota Timberwolves like out of nowhere. Yeah. It's like what, I don't understand. But like, I think Billy Donovan is probably a decent coach too. It's just the roster construction, right? It's just like a lot of things haven't made sense.
Yeah, I think Billy Donovan is not the problem in my eyes. It's the roster. It's the front office, really, that's been – well, no, I wouldn't even say it's the front office. It's the ownership that is terrible, because Jerry Reinsdorf wants to just, you know, keep the Bulls – he wants them to be competitive, which to him means play-in tournament every year. You fill the seats, you make some money, and that's good enough for him. So –
wow.
I think the Bulls need to like completely tear it down and do a full blown rebuild.
Yeah.
But that's just not going to happen with the ownership as it is right now, which is frustrating as a Bulls fan. Yeah, they'll win a couple games that you don't expect them to win every year against really good teams. And then they will lose to teams like the Pistons, who they did twice last year, or the Wizards, or in like perfect spots where everything is on the Bulls side. They should like rest everything, health. And then they'll blow a game. So that's kind of Chicago Bulls for you.
Yeah, no, when the Bulls are like more than like 6 or 7 point favorites, you know, that's a target. That's a target most of the time. I wonder what, you know, fans like Kevin, who have been fans of the Bulls for a long time, people who knew the Michael Jordan era, Michael Jordan himself, I just wonder what these folks think about that premise of like, let's just get to the playing games. I mean, that doesn't sound like championship basketball.
No. Chris, if you want to know, you just have Kevin on your pod and he will talk for an hour straight without you getting a word in about the Bulls and what's going on.
I'm sure. When I seeing his passion for NCAA football 25, I would expect nothing less.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to some more sports, because that's all Kate Constable does. You can follow her at Kate Constable on X, on Twitter. All she does is talk sports and sports betting every single day. So let's move on to the WNBA. I don't have anything specifically planned for this, just for us to talk about the WNBA in the second half of the season. But, you know, obviously the Las Vegas Aces have kind of recouped, right? Like AJ Wilson looking really, really dominant again. The New York Liberty, I think Sabrina. I'm mixing up Brianna Stewart and Sabrina. Sabrina Ionescu, am I saying that right?
Ionescu. Yeah, Ionescu. I don't know how to say her name correctly because I hear it so many different ways. I say Sabrina Ionescu, but I could definitely be wrong in that.
Yours sounds better, but okay. But I mean, she is probably my favorite player. I mean, she's so tenacious out there, besides Caitlin Clark, of course. But it should be a good ending to the WNBA season. I admittedly am not planning on betting it anymore just because the NFL is on the horizon. And I just really have to be, you know, clear in the kind of things I'm doing every day with my busy life. But what do you have projections-wise for the WNBA as we end this season? Do you have anything, whether that's MVP, champion, Caitlin Clark stuff, who, by the way, I just learned I don't know if you heard, I'm sure you heard this stat. Caitlin Clark has like more assists already in half of a season than like 50% of all WNBA players, something like that.
Yeah. I could pull up my Caitlin Clark. Yeah, she's broken the single game assist record. She's the second rookie ever to go over 200 assists in a season, fastest player to do it, franchise record in assists for the Fever. And then it just kind of goes on and on. She's broken a lot of records this year. So I think, I mean, the rookie of the year race has been closer than I think a lot of people anticipated with Angel Reese. And Angel Reese has been phenomenal. I just don't think you can overlook a lot of the stuff that Caitlin Clark has been able to do. And she's played a whole lot better in the last, what, two, 3 weeks, month, than she did to start the season. So that, I mean, there's no reason to bet anything in rookie of the year. Clark is minus 1800 right now. She's going to run away with that. One thing that I do think, Chris, because the Aces are so dominant and they started to put things together. They got Chelsea Gray, Chelsea Gray was out for the beginning of the season. Once she's been back, they've been a lot better. The Minnesota Lynx are a team that I like for just a longer shot. They're 9-1 to win the title. That's what, the fourth, fifth shortest odds. So it's still quite a few teams above them, but the Lynx have played very well this year. They have a championship head coach who's coaching in the Cheryl Reeve, who's coaching the Olympic team right now. And Nafisa Collier should be back and healthy because she's playing for the Olympic team right now. And she missed time towards the end of that first half of the season with an injury, and they were still able to stay afloat. So I think the Lynx is a long shot, could be someone to look at. I wouldn't look at any team that has longer odds than that. Like the Mercury, then you jump up to 22-1. So like, it's kind of a 4 or 5 team race with the Aces leading the charge, but three-peating is really hard. Like it's hard to win 2 in a row. It's going to be hard to win 3 in a row, especially with so many Aces players on the Olympic team. Like, are those, what you have Chelsea Gray, Kelsey Plum, Asia Wilson, and Jackie Young. I think Jackie Young is still in the Aces. Now that I say that, but so there's four players. Like, that's a long season when everyone else in the league is getting a month off to rest and recoup. So I think you look at this year, look at someone further down the board, and I like Minnesota.
I think that's a really, I mean, Kate Constable and I didn't plan on agreeing about all these things, but I really like that take on Minnesota because I agree. I mean, Nafisa Collier is a real star too. You know, I'm on both sides of the court, clear leader of that team. Whereas I like to compare a team like that to like the Connecticut Sun, for example, where, you know, Connecticut been very good the first half of the season, but I just don't know if they have that like one or two players to always turn to, right? It's like kind of a shared model there where like everybody contributes very good defensively, but in those clutch moments, they don't really have like that one gal to turn to. Whereas Minnesota does, and they've been playing some amazing defense, either first or second all season so far. And, you know, a lot of them are going to get a nice long break, right? Unlike the Aces and a lot of these other teams. I mean, if I had to, you know, if it was all even money, I'd probably put the Liberty as my team to win it all, just because I like their moxie this year. I think they're kind of coming for the Las Vegas Aces in those big games that they play, like against the Connecticut Sun. You see them show up, right? Yep. But Should be an interesting ending there. I think there's only 3 or 4 teams that have a chance at it. But yeah, good analysis there. I mean, hey, listen, if a team like the Seattle Storm, though, or something like that, like makes it happen, that would be very interesting. Because now we're starting to see, like, the thing I like about the WNBA is that there's more parity. Yeah. You know, like, and along with the obviously more attention that it's getting, you know, the talent level is like obviously like elevating every single season. So like you can't watch WNBA basketball and like be a dude these days and be like, oh yeah, I can go out there and play with them. Sure. Yeah. I can go play with them. No, you can't, bro. Like, no. you're not stopping Sabrina getting to the rim or shooting threes or anything. Anyway. So Caitlin Clark, I did have a question on here. Very formal professional question. Caitlin Clark is a pretty good player. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I would say that Caitlin Clark is a solid basketball player. I think pretty decent.
You know, that's why you're you, Kate Constable.
Right.
The hard-hitting analysis
of she is good. Yes.
Controversial, actually.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the Olympics to end this show. Always a lot of fun talking to Kate Constable again. You can follow her at Kate Constable on X. Let's talk about these Olympics, men's basketball, women's basketball. I'll start with the men's, and I'll just say that I took a little cash money on Canada to win it all. You know, as an American, I didn't love doing that. You know, I love my country.
That's tough for you.
But they're feisty. They're feisty. Like you saw them today against Team Australia this morning. Had a little money on that too, by the way. And in the second half, they really can put it to the next level, right? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dylan Brooks, RJ Barrett, you know, Kelly Olynyk even, right? Like they got some depth over there for Team Canada. What are you looking at for men's basketball, either upcoming games on the schedule or who's going to win it all? Do you think it goes to Team USA or maybe we see an outlier here?
I think Canada is a good look if it doesn't go to the US because there are so many NBA players on Team Canada, right? Like Jamal Murray, SGA, the talent is there. I'm just not sure the depth is there to get past the United States.
Yeah.
I liked Australia to win Group A before this started. I don't know if you can still bet groups. I'm not seeing anything on the board for groups, and I'm not sure that would even be, you know, value in that. But I liked Canada and Australia to come out of Group A. Spain has been better than anticipated. It looks like Greece isn't even going to make it out of the group, which sucks. No Giannis. Come on.
Giannis, and that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Athanasis. Come on, Chris. Have some.
Oh, that's true. Respect, I'm sorry,
Athanasis. Yeah, come on. France is interesting just because you have Rudy and Wemby. So defensively, France is a very good team, but do they have the offense to keep up with the U.S.? I don't really think so. So, I mean, I think the U.S. is going to win this. I think it'd be a massive disappointment if they don't, but there's really no value in betting the U.S. So I think if you do want to bet on the Olympics, like taking someone like Canada for a little bit more value is probably the right call, because I think they are one of the only, if not one of the two teams possibly with France that could challenge the U.S. I just don't see that roster for the United States allowing them not to take home gold.
Let me guess. You see a game-changing layup from Devin Booker to shift the whole game against Team Canada, and then it's a Team USA win. Is that what you see
happening?
Hell
yeah. Booker is going to take over. Chris knows I have a love for Devin Booker.
Well, it's our Chris, famous debate, right? Because I famously can't stand him, and you famously love him. So actually,
and part
your
of the
mom,
reason I famously love him is because you hate him so much. Yeah. And I know it pisses you off.
And we need to bring the matriarch. Your mom loves Devin Booker arguably than any of us, right?
My mom does love Devin Booker.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, that was another viral video that you had. See, you got to stick to your mom and Kevin. That's
I know, right? Everyone else goes viral. Yeah, everyone around me.
Right. Okay, how about women's basketball? You know, another famous stat. The women's team hasn't lost a game since 1992. I think that's right. 92, 93, something like that. Of course they face Caitlin Clark and lose. I'm just kidding. Caitlin Clark actually didn't have a great game in that one, but you know, she was there. She had plenty of assists. But for the women's side, do you see anyone unseating women, the Team USA, I should say, of the women's side? Because again, when it comes to talent, size, America is creating these super talented players, but it seems like the rest of the world really isn't catching up.
I just kind of blacked out while you said that last little spiel of yours while I was looking at the odds board or the games coming up. So I don't know if this is what you said, but the U.S. the U.S. women have not lost since like 92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So we covered that.
Wow.
Yeah. So no, they're not losing. There is no competition. I mean, the world is catching up on the women's side.
Yeah.
The world's caught up a lot more so on the men's side, but on the women's side, it's getting there. It's still not there yet. They covered easily against Japan yesterday. They're 23-point favorites against Belgium Thursday. And, I mean, I would kind of – I don't know a whole lot about Belgium, to be honest. Haven't really handicapped that squad. But I would venture to guess that the U.S. can cover most of these numbers. They started slow in yesterday's game against Japan and then just took over in the second half. I also think you could play a lot of team totals over, because not that the U.S. is needing this or going to be relying on this at all, but the point differential is a thing. So I don't think they're necessarily going to take their foot off the gas, just to have that in your back pocket in case something does go crazy. So kind of any way you want to back the U.S. over these next couple group play games, I think is a fine way to go.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think just the marketplace in general is underrating the offensive ability of WNBA teams. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to also translate into the Olympics, right? Because I mean, these girls can score.
Yeah. And they played very fast yesterday against Japan. Like they got out in transition. They scored, you know, a couple buckets within a minute, like turnovers, things like that. They're just looking to push the pace. So speed is definitely.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of games in the 170s, I think, right? A lot of totals around that. But I agree. I would lean to the over, especially if you see some of those numbers dropping for some kind of nefarious reason. I don't think I would trust it, because Team USA is going to be able to bring it against pretty much any defense. The size comparison alone, I think, in most cases is going to make that difference. But then, you add the talent and the guards that they have in there, the way they can shoot. Love that. I didn't prepare this last question. I didn't send this ahead of time, but I have to ask, because every day, BetQL, all the things you do, baseball, I'm sure you're talking Olympics now. You talk every sport. So are there any free picks, any advice, any insights about today or this week that you would like to give for our audience? Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, you are putting me on the spot. Yesterday, I did hit my home run prop in baseball with Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Hitting. Oh, wow. Let me put that bet in. Oh, wait, I can't because you hit it yesterday.
In game one of the doubleheader. So my home run prop today is Ketel Marte, if I'm saying that correctly. I don't know how to say his name properly.
I wish I could correct you.
But for the Diamondbacks, he's going up against the Nationals today. You can get that around plus 420 FanDuel. I don't know if I'm allowed to say specific books on here, Chris, but I just did. Facing Patrick Corbin. Patrick Corbin's not great. Marte has had success against him. But here is one for you, Chris, an Olympic one. That I like for, I think it's happening today. I can't, the time changes are getting me all messed up, but I like, I'm pulling it up here. Hold on.
Is it basketball?
No, it's not. It's swimming. Men's swimming.
Ooh, I love that. I need another
200 meter butterfly. I like Leon Marchand, the Frenchman, to win the 200 meter butterfly. He is the plus 150 around. So he's the second shortest odds. But I just knowing a lot about him or hearing stuff about him over the last couple of days, doing some research. It's between he and the Hungarian man for whoever wins this one. And I like him, the hometown guy, to take home the gold in the 200 meter butterfly. Apparently that starts in 3 hours and 12 minutes.
Oh shit! Well, we're not gonna put this out today. We're gonna put this out Wednesday, but we'll see.
Dang! So you're not gonna get the home run prop or the.
I'm gonna take that bet.
All right. Yeah.
The audience will know if it won or not, I guess.
Perfect. There you go.
Which is further proof that you need to follow Kate Consuelo. You need to follow her right now. I'm probably gonna text you about that because you know me. I need to find that guy's name. I need to see.
Adriana Diaz, also the Puerto Rican ping pong player, table tennis. I have a long shot on her 800-1 to win. So far, she's undefeated.
No kidding.
Yes.
I imagine those odds have gone down, but
I would too. I have not checked recently, but I would.
800-1.
800-1.
Can I ask how much American money was put on that?
Yeah, I put $5 on it.
Okay, but what does that pay out? Quick math.
400.
Imagine if you put 25 on that.
She's 80-1. I'm sorry, 80-1.
Okay, I was gonna say 800-1 is quite. It's like. Should you even be in the Olympics?
Yeah, no, 80-1. I put $5 to win 405.
Yeah, it sounded like it should have been more, but Well, we'll be cheering for you for that. Yeah. I'll just say this too, because again, it's my fault. I put you on the spot. If you want more of her bets, literally every single day, Kate Consuelo is putting out free picks for you on BetQL and on Twitter and everywhere you go. I mean, I can't, I can't keep up with you, Kate Consuelo. So pay attention to Kate Consuelo, follow her on Twitter at Kate Consuelo. And I'll say your name one more time, Kate Consuelo. I am really grateful for you coming on Laying the Points. It's been way too long. And let's talk football. Let's talk NBA again soon. WNBA maybe towards the end of the season. We'd love to have you back on again soon.
It's great to be back with you, Chris. Appreciate you having me on. And you know where to find me.
I know where to find you. They need to find you. See you, Kate.